Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, what's good? It's Black Trey, and I got a show called Growing Up the Same with Jason Madison, where we talk to guests about their childhood memories that I'm sure everyone can relate to. You even get some life advice at the end. Our show has featured guests like Dom Kennedy, JJ Redick, Baron Davis, Brian Koppelman, Bomani Jones, Mina Kimes, and many more. Be sure to check us out on the Black Opinions Matter feed under the Count the Dings Network. Oh yeah, and don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend to subscribe, rate, and review.
Hey, what's up? I'm Darren Revelle, and I am this week's guest on the Kicks and Shit Show. What's good, everybody? We are back. It's your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby. Episode 59 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Bam, 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 bam.
Are we here for the whoop whoop or no?
The whoop's cool. Like, we can do that. Like, that's like, you know, you're kind of feeling it.
Was it like a whoop, there it is, or?
Shouts to tag team. No,
you know. For a new episode, y'all.
It is. We are recording this on a morning, and, you know, I typically prefer mornings. Gabby does not. So, one, I appreciate you adjusting schedules to make this happen. Two, the puns, no matter what time of day, don't stop, right? You continue. You're like Diddy, can't stop, won't stop.
I was just going to say can't stop, won't stop.
I knew it. See, that's why I preempted and cut that off.
Beat me to the punch. I was going to say, I feel like the delivery is still there. There's just a little bit of a tape delay early in the morning. But, you know, Gerard, sometimes, like, that's what a partnership is, right? You know, sometimes you'll do late night episodes at 8 o'clock. And sometimes I do early morning episodes at 9 a.m. Neither of those are early or late, guys. That's a joke.
It's just that, you know, what's interesting about that is that everyone, like, as you get older, you should probably know, right, like, what your peak hours of productivity are, right? Like, yep. I think, you know, if you're working, you're doing whatever, and, you know, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this person was like, yeah, for me, I'm more of a night owl. So, like, I know I can get my creative juices flowing and do whatever. And I'm like, yeah. I think peak creativity for me is, like, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Like, after 2, it's like, I got nothing.
I think I'm literally the opposite, which is why we're the dream team, Gerard. I think for me, peak hours are, like, between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. I think, you know, this pandemic and working from home and also having the luxury of working on the East Coast but having clients and team that are on West Coast, I'm living my best life over here.
You are.
Maybe it's not my best life because 7 a.m. has become early morning for me, which, let's be honest, that is not early.
Well, look, we are thinking about moving to, I mean, not actually physically moving, but getting a Kicks and Shit West Coast office, perhaps, you know, West Coast studio. You know, L.A. is nice. I was going to say this time of year, all times of year. So, you know, we'll see what's happening out there. Maybe we'll take up some residence near Delilah, hang out with Waz when he goes to Delilah's on Sundays.
I'm here for that.
Shouts to our guy Waz, who, as of last week, he was telling us he only goes once a week to Delilah, although, you know, it may be upping itself to 2 times a week soon.
I appreciate that, though. You know, the world is starting to open up.
It is.
I think they're, even just judging based on, like, the traffic level, people are excited to be outside and back at it, right? I know it's a weird time. I don't think people have spatial awareness anymore and remember how to act in public. And, you know, I'm very grateful that bike shorts are still a vibe.
Oh, bike shorts for you. Open. Always the vibe.
Wait, always the vibe.
Are you, what is happening vis-a-vis?
Currently wearing bike shorts? Yes, I am. Thank you for asking.
I wasn't asking that because I already knew. Jersey Shore. Are you going to be hitting up the Jersey Shore this summer? Or are you like, meh, I don't know?
I think I will be a little bit. You know, I do want to clarify, though, for those who are not familiar with the Jersey Shore outside of MTV True Life and the Jersey Shore TV show that somehow is still on the air, even though they have kids and way too much plastic surgery. There's a lot of Jersey Shore that's very different from what you see on TV. My family lives down there. I don't think there's an actual bar in the town that they live in. They're right on the beach. It's very nice. They have an art gallery. You know, if you're in the art, hit me up, y'all. I'll give you a friends and family discount.
That's very adult. You know, I do want to transition, Gabs. Like, art gallery, you know, that's good stuff. I think, who knew you had a artsy side to you? That's nice.
There's a lot of sides to me, Gerard. You know, I'm like a blooming onion. Just peel back those layers, dip me in a little ranch, and then call it a day.
Oh, God. All right? You see? Always got to take it too far.
But I will say, you'll appreciate this, though, because as you know, I've been traveling a little bit. You know, yes. I'm very excited to be out of the house, fully vaxxed, fully waxed.
I was waiting for the...
You knew it was coming. I feel like you're like typing to me as we speak, being like, please don't say waxed again. We don't need to know about that. It's too personal. Put some sleeves on that outfit. Call it a day. But when we were down in Florida, I was working remotely for the week. My FOMO was very appreciative that we had rainy weather during the week, and then it was sunny on the weekend, which is why I have these fruit stripe gum tan lines at the moment. Looking real, real cute. But there were girls in trucker hats, which not only made me feel very old, because everything from when we were younger is back.
Like Von Dutch trucker hats, like those?
Oh, no, they were the airbrush trucker hats. Oh. And we were like, what does it say? And it said, thought shit.
Wow.
And so we were talking to them, and I was like, are you guys here for like a bachelorette party? Is this a birthday party? They're like, no, we are here for a Jersey Shore themed evening on the town. And I've never been so excited and offended at the same time, because I'm like, first of all, they clearly are channeling Snooki from like the early days of Jersey Shore and Seaside Heights. Like, God bless MTV with that.
God, yeah.
Television gem, whatever you want to call it. But
would we say
I do want to say, I mean, the fact that most of America knows what GTL stands for, I would say it was a cultural phenomenon. Maybe we'll put it that way instead of a gem. It could be a dull gem, an uncut gem, you know, many different kinds of gems. But they were so excited to meet us, because one of the girls that I was traveling with actually currently lives down the Jersey Shore. I felt like we were celebrities. They took pictures with us, and I was like, wow, people really have not been out of the house in a long time. But thought shit, though, really? Like, I'm way too old for that. I'm going to be can't have the S as a dollar sign, ladies. Like, this is going to end up on social media when your future jobs are looking for you.
The S is the dollar sign. But I thought it was, because we didn't have one last summer, I thought it was hot girl summer. Is it also hot girl summer?
I mean, every summer should be hot girl summer.
Every summer should be. I agree.
Right now, I mean, it's 86 degrees and it's 9 a.m. It's hot girl summer, whether you want it to be or not.
It is actually literally hot girl summer.
Humidity girl summer. Why don't we call it that? There you go.
Wait, you mentioned New Jersey Shore, and I have to tell this story, because not about the show, but about the actual physical New Jersey Shore. So this was sometime in the, right before, like, so like 2007, 8, somewhere in that range. Down at Belmar, and I like to go to the beach in the morning on Saturdays, like, you know, get there like right before like 8:30. So like sometimes you get in before the lifeguards are there, so, you know, they don't have to worry about paying your, I mean, they eventually find you because they come on and check for your badge, but, you know, you get on early, and then I leave by 2 when everybody gets there and it gets crazy. Anyway, so, you know, get there, I'm like, all right, let me go grab something at Dunkin' Donuts, whatever, blah, blah, blah. There's a little bit of a line at Dunkin' Donuts. We're waiting, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I hear some young men who I would assume you would classify in that Jersey Shore kind of mold, because the
as a bro,
because the conversation is about, yo, what are we gonna do today, bro? Like, that literally was
literally bro. Yeah, I believe it. You don't need to tell me. I don't need to fact check this one, Dad.
I am not exaggerating. That was, I was like, first of all, I was like, why so aggressive on the ask? Like, it's just so, like, right? I was like, just, what are we going to do today? Well, I still like, yo, what are we going to do today, bro? I was like, Jesus.
Bruh.
Right. I was like, God damn. Okay. And then the response was, man, I got a lot of shit to do. He's like, oh, we got to go tanning, man. We got to tan, bro. And I was like, oh, this is like legitimately out of the, he's like, but wait, what are you going to get? And then it was like, what are we going to get inside? I'm going to get a culotta, put some Red Bull in that shit and drink it. And I was like, wow.
I was going to say, that's where the bro is coming from. It's like an IV of Red Bull and Jaeger, depending based on like the timeline of this story. Oh, yeah. Especially if they spend a little afternoon at Desjois, other more commonly known as DJs, but you know, the local folks. Yeah,
you should make DJ sound classy when it is anything but that.
It's anything but classy. It is a black hole in the middle of the daytime. My favorite's whenever I'm down there with my parents because they were a town over from Belmar, and we'll drive by it. My dad's like, "Oh, that's where your old roommate used to go." I when I first moved to Hoboken, just for context, I think you know this.
Yeah.
I lived with a guy. Let's call him Danimal. That's what.
Let's call him. First of all, his name is Danimal.
Everything about Danimal is embodied by Danimal.
Yeah.
And by Desjois, like custom tank tops, like bro tanks for Desjois.
I can't.
Oh yeah. So time
I'm just out.
Drive by, even like years later, mind you, Danimal now is an adult, married, has a child, you know, beautiful daughter. And my dad
still has those leanings.
Is Danimal in there? Is he in Desjois? I'm like, I don't know that. I don't think so. Hopefully not for him and his wife and his child, but he's not in there.
But it just, that whole like experience, like, I'm like,
it's
but
experience.
I said, but the culottes already got like caffeine in it. Why are you now adding Red Bull on top of that?
And
like,
so much sugar.
Right. Like, do you need to even be more
hyped? It was a coffee culotta?
Yes.
Or was it like a watermelon, one of those like blue raspberries?
Man, I don't even know. But just the idea of like, I'm going to get a culotta and then put Red Bull in it. I was like,
take a hard pass on everything about what you just said.
Right. I'm just like,
no, thank you.
Literally, no, thank you. But anyway, that is
no, thank you, bro.
Bruh. I do want to transition to something really quickly that I thought saw that was interesting. Brooks, the running shoe company, we did an episode about running shoes early on in our run here, and like we were like, oh, why can't running shoes be more fashionable? They're so like, but you know, it's running is really about function, right? I want to make sure I have stability and I don't break my ankles or my Achilles or anything like that. They are going to have the first carbon neutral shoe. I saw something and I was like, Ooh. Oh, that's interesting. And I feel like it would have been a company like a Brooks, right, to do something like that. Like these kinds of, not that, I mean, look, Nike does their whole sustainability materials and all that. And
I'd say New Balance is doing a lot of cool stuff in the sustainability space too, especially with Jaden Smith, like a lot of cool things going on.
And I think that is sort of like, you know, not the new wave, it's here, but that's something we're going to see a lot more of, right? Yes, where it's like, ooh, you're doing something with, you know, carbon neutral. Okay, we're going to do that too, right? And look, I'm a champion of that, right? Like the earth is a very precious thing and we are doing bad things to it. So I think, you know, if we want this earth to keep spinning and doing its thing, we, you know, need to be much better about how we utilize products for creating all the different things that we have.
No, I totally agree. And I love seeing when brands are doing things for good like that. And, you know, I know we talked a lot on last week's episode about New Balance as almost one of the top three. I've seen a lot of New Balance on my feed ever since Waz mentioned that. I mean, it's funny that Puma wasn't actually on his list, which I found very interesting because I think there's a lot of cool stuff coming from Puma.
Yeah.
But like, even some of the collabs, some of the designer partnerships with New Balance, some of the not just fashion designer, but like shoe designer partnerships with New Balance have been really cool. Like, I've had my eye on the Bodega New Balances for a while, and some of the Kawhi 997s are really fire. I like that it's a little bit of like a functional, fashionable. I feel like if you like Nike, that's like a good gateway silhouette that feel like you're in a Monarch. I feel like some of the New Balances for me are a little dad shoe, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Depends on your vibe. And I think it's a comfortable shoe, which is also why they're winning, right? It's like,
without question,
there's a lot of interesting colorways and vibes, but I think just seeing what's going on with brands, with retailers, to me has been really fascinating. That's one of the things that I love most about social media. Like, I want to give shouts to our guy Kari for doing an amazing job hosting an Allen Iverson focus IG Live on Footaction. And I think, you know, seeing brands like Footaction still not just like doing IG Lives now that the world is opening up, but being relevant, having engaging content, followers were going up the whole time. Like, it was a vibe. And, you know, not for nothing, I have to say, I loved seeing some of our KNS guest fam on the show. Mally Mall, Liz Beecroft, Jazzy, you know, it's like, that's the fam. But it just shows that, like, this is like this new normal of sneaker community and culture, but I love seeing that it's still living on social and there's still a home for it. And brands and retailers are still recognizing the need for this content and the desire for it, especially like it's Allen Iverson's birthday. It's a big year anniversary from the draft class. Maybe the best draft class that ever was.
That 96 draft class was pretty good.
Fire.
No, I think, you know, so we're talking about nostalgia, right? And nostalgia is the thing that it's very popular, right? Like it sells. I mean, there's a reason why we do remakes and reboots and it's all about nostalgia.
Retros.
That is nostalgia. Yeah. If you watch the Watchmen series on HBO, I mean, they had nostalgia pills, right? As a major plot point, right? That's a big, big part of it because we're always trying to tap into memories of, I don't want to say, you know, simpler times, but times where we were happy and times where things seemed different, right? I think that's what's really important. And it's interesting that we talk about that because our guest coming up is someone who, you know, is really big into nostalgia in a different way from the sports business side of things and collectibles. So stay tuned. Gabby, we're back and we are not alone. We are joined by sports business reporter. He works at the Action Network. You may have seen him way back in the day on CNBC. He is into NFTs, collectibles. You might see his Twitter feed, which is always an interesting follow, so make sure you do that. And he'll post pictures of like tickets from old games, jerseys, all kinds of things. It is Darren Revelle. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us this morning. So I actually want to start in at there with nostalgia because that's something that Gabby and I kicked off the show talking about. You know, that is something that clearly is, it matters to you, right? Like that's why you're into these different collectibles and these various things. What is it about nostalgia that speaks to you so much on a personal level?
Well, listen, I think especially during the pandemic, you needed to go back to what made you happy when you were a normal human being. And I would say, and this is always hard to say, and it's kind of anecdotal, but children of the 80s are probably more nostalgic than most. I think some of it has to do with, I mean, like, if you look at all the cult classics that came out and, you know, like, even in the movies in 1986 alone, you know, Ferris Bueller and Top Gun and all these. I'm not saying every generation doesn't have their greatness, but I just think people of my generation, people who are between, you know, 40 and 50, really, I think they do over-index in nostalgia. And I, as someone who loves to tell stories and loves to go back, I think it's something that just tugs at the heartstrings of people. And it's one thing that you can go back to that naturally makes you smile or be happy.
No, you're dead on with that because I am firmly in that, born in 78. So to me, everything from the mid 80s is like the greatest thing ever, right?
It's greatest thing.
I mean, shouts to Ferris Bueller, best movie ever.
Ferris Bueller. Yeah, we got this on eBay. We have a sealed copy.
Oh,
I love that. Ferris
Bueller, make sure if you're collecting VHSs that you get that it's sealed. It has the movie tape on it. You got to have the movie tape.
The movie tape.
Make sure it has the year, by the way, of the movie that the movie came out. Not like 5 or 6 years later, just protecting people. They start loving nostalgia after this.
Well, because there are people who are definitely going to try to take advantage of that, right? And hustle them and like, oh, I've got this original. And you're like, nope, doesn't have the movie tape. I know that's not real.
You got to quickly know what you're doing. You know, you can't start getting into collecting something and not. I mean, I was talking to someone yesterday about the sealed iPhone 1s because it was the 14th anniversary of the iPhone 1s coming out. And, you know, someone says, hey, I got an iPhone 1. It was a deal, you know, $9,000. And I'm like, I guarantee you that that's not an original seal on that, on that. And, you know, then we're talking about sealing fraud. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with sneakers.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with sneakers. Mm-hmm. You could get pretty damn close, as you guys know.
For sure. And so, obviously, as someone who's into collectibles and nostalgia, the next question I have to ask is, how does your family feel about that? Namely, your wife, because I imagine you have garages and rooms full of stuff, and she's like, what are we doing with all this?
she doesn't love it, but I can tell you that my collection is worth a lot. And I would say what's interesting now is, like, now you have everyone talking about the dollar and what's the dollar worth, and you know, how do you kind of de-risk yourself? And so putting money into memorabilia is not necessarily spending it, it's moving your money to a different place. And so, you know, I think after I've explained that to my wife, the idea of just having, if you're going to put it in crypto, if you're going to put it in NFTs, if you're going to put it in shoes, the bank is offering nothing right now. It's offering nothing for you. So if you can be smart and move it sideways to something else, and have collections and talk about it and be in the places where people are going to be, I think it's a smart way to put your money in. I don't ever buy something that I think is going to be worth less than the day I buy it.
That makes sense. And that's actually a good rule of thumb, right? If I think it's going to be worth less, I'm not buying it. That's actually pretty smart advice.
Unless you're going to wear it. That's the only thing. If you plan to wear it and not sell, trade, totally agree.
I actually do wear my, we'll get into this, but I do wear my shoes. I don't just keep them pristine. I'll wipe them down and make sure it's not raining, but I do wear my shoes. I think it's very important.
We are advocates of that, livestock versus dead stock over here. So you brought up shoes. Let's talk about it. You have been covering the business of sports for a long time, and you're intimately familiar with companies like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, etc. What have you seen as it relates to those companies and sneakers over the last 20 years or so?
Definitely seen kind of the figuring out of how to make, you know, the sausage, how to, you know, like, I remember I went to, when I was doing the documentary on Nike at CNBC, I remember there was a room of a 14-year-old inside Nike's HQ. And they would put take things in and out, and we asked to film it, and they said no. But, you know, so like the science behind figuring out the hype, you know, like, is the sneakers app good or bad? Like, okay, well, you're trending every Saturday and Sunday, right? Like, whether people toxic are mad place, or yep. not, right? Like, thinking about that. And, you know, there is a sneaky science to delivering hype. And the line between hype and you didn't do enough, and the line between being a shareholder of Nike and having a fiduciary responsibility to put out enough shoes and not doing too many Jordans and retros and 15 times doing the, you know, whatever, I think there's all that is what fascinates me the most. The tension, the tension between making a lot of money and continuing to stay viral.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
Do you think they don't get enough credit for it? But I think Adidas has done a pretty damn good job of picking what they want to, like, be viral. And I'm keeping the Yeezys out of it, but, like, more like, you know, I think they've done a really good job with the Stan Smiths over the past 5 years. Materials, you know, anyone who watches my Instagram, I'm a big New Balance 327s guy, the big N's. I think there's been some great innovations, and I just hope that, you know, people aren't cheap and they just do what they like and buy what they like instead of what other people like.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that's the hardest part, though, right? Is, like, it's hard to buy what you like when there's so much hype around it. Do you see this resale market as being, like, the new regular way to get sneakers and how we consume?
Yeah, like, listen, I think eBay's authenticity guarantee, StockX, you know, I'd like to see the grading of sneakers happen, the real grading, like, what's a 10, what's an 8. I'd like to see boxes get authenticated and you be able to have the whole box authenticated together if it just like it's a card. So I think there's something there for people who are collecting. I mean, it's never been, for me, it's never been a problem zagging because I don't like to be like everyone. Like, you'd be surprised, like, yeah, you show up with the Grateful Deads and, like, you know, or you show up with whatever, like, whatever's the hype shoe, the Heinekens or whatever people are talking, or the Diors, and people are like, oh my God, those are those. But, like, I think the water those is much better. Like water, like, you know, like this is probably like my show, one of my show stoppers.
Nice.
You know, like, you get the
but seriously though, water those are amazing.
No, so it's like the I don't know what turf they're called, but they're like it's like all turf.
It's Air Max One turf with the treads on the sole.
Yeah, I love the treads. Okay. Yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's like a golf shoe.
I would call those the Happy Gilmores if I had to name them.
Yeah, like, or like, I mean, sometimes you have to go to a different brand, but like, you know.
The Saucony's,
The Saucony Mint Chocolate Chips.
Yep, love that.
Spoon, a great colorway.
Ice cream on the inside.
Oh, I love that.
So, yeah, so like, I think water, people don't really have a good sense on the what are those and how much that is worth.
Mm-hmm.
You get credit. You get more credit when you're not a follower.
And I think that's a big shift in the sneaker culture, though, because even a few years ago, and I know Gerard and I, when we started the show, talked a lot about that, how the perception of collections has evolved, especially during the pandemic. Originally, it was all about Jordan 1s or the retros and the 11s and how many different colorways you had. And I totally agree with you, Darren, that now it's like, wait a second, is that a custom? What is that? Where did you get it from? What year is it from?
You could actually look at the evolution of the red carpet, and I've kind of seen this, you know, because I was on red carpets in, 2000. the evolution is like, yes, you'd be a follower in the beginning, but like then people are looking down and be like, oh, where'd you get those? Are those, you know, limited edition or whatever? And I think you do get a whole lot more credit now for being an innovator. That being said, I think there's still... I'm amazed sometimes when really cool shoes come out and you can get them.
Yeah.
Like, you can get them. Like, okay, I know Sperry isn't a brand that we care about, but like, if they're going to do a like rocket pop red, white, and blue Sperry like Docksider thing and it comes in the actual like rocket pop box.
Amazing.
Like, You bet I bought them, and you bet I'm checking the shipping so that I could show up like a baller to a 4th of July. Get out of here. Like, that, it's not
totally
even,
agreeing.
You know, like, so I love that. And that's kind of why I steered into doing, collecting some food shoes. 'Cause I just thought it was just different.
I was going to say, do you save the boxes though? I'm looking thoroughly at your collection behind you.
So I can't, you know, I get probably around 70% of my shoes for free.
A man after my own heart. I love it.
So the truth is I can never like ethically sell them ever. So like the value is kind of means this, that's probably the only part of my collection where like the value really means nothing because I can't really sell them. Now, we did have one catastrophe with my wife. I got the Uncle Drew Kyrie's, and I got the locker with my name on it. And the locker was, and I don't, again, I'm not looking at the StockX stuff for this because I'm not selling it, but apparently, like, the locker, like, made the shoes, like, $4,000 or $5,000, and the wife, you know, was like, I can't stand, this is so big, it's like metal, we gotta get this out of the house, and took it upon herself to come into the office and throw it out, which... Like, okay, I'm not selling it, but it still seemed like a disaster to me that I didn't have that. Like that, but that's hard for all shoe collectors. Like, where are you putting the boxes?
It's true.
Gabby sits with the boxes.
Well, yeah, she has her boxes behind her.
I was gonna say, I have mine all in my boxes, but I also, you know, I'm in a shared space, not a home that I own, so that's also part of that. I think, you know, if it were up to me, I would have a beautifully designed sneaker closet and could maybe make like some wallpaper.
I think it's interesting that the boxes themselves, like, I'm surprised that 1972, 73 Nike boxes aren't more collectible.
I agree.
When you think about how important it is on the OG Jordans and the 85s and to have the original box, I mean, it's basically everything. Mm-hmm. It's probably around 30% of the price. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think about that, like, why aren't boxes themselves collectible, especially from back in the day? That's actually surprises me. You can get a nice, you know, old Nike box with the thinner Nike logo for an affordable amount of money.
Yeah, 100%.
I wonder if the quality also doesn't last. I know for me, especially having like larger sacks, the weight of different sneakers, like that's where in my next sneaker closet life, we'll have dividers between a few of the different boxes to take some of that weight off, because I wonder if that's where, especially as the boxes age and the materials deteriorate a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine you looking, that would actually be a fun comedy, you looking for an apartment in New York City. I need 300 feet of living space, and I need about
2,300
square feet of closets.
Yeah, exactly.
Bathroom down the hall, no problem. Yeah, but as long as I have the space, we're good.
our friend Jock Slade, the Container Store now has the extra large boxes, right? Which now the drop top fronts can fit the box inside of it, right? So that's kind of good.
And you can have your high top stand up.
By the way, it's amazing to talk about a company, and this is something I love, this type of stuff. Talk about a company who has angled into this space. These are all behind me Container Stores. Mm-hmm. You know, they have really, there was a whole lot of inadequate stuff. They have really, and by the way, they've raised the prices on these individually. It's like $9.99 now when you break it down, even if you buy the six versus like $6.99. They have angled into this space
brilliantly.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing for a company to do that and just realize that there's just a need for it, because it was just so inadequate before with like the wood racks or, you know, to figure out like, you know, the delta between being able to easily stack this and having someone build your closet is obviously.
Yep.
And they're affordable enough that when you see that like six pack for $30 or $20 or whatever it is, I know there's a lot of like hack and imitation brands from that. But when you think about who's actually buying these, right, it's not the average person who has a couple pairs of sneakers. It's someone who has multiple pairs that adds up.
No,
it's an investment.
Darren, you mentioned NFTs before, and that's a world that I think is so fascinating. Like for our listeners and our viewers, can you just give them the quick sort of like NFTs for dummies? Here's what it is and here's what it means. And if you want to get involved, here's what you should be thinking about.
Right. So an NFT is a non-fungible token. And what that means is that on its face, it's not worth anything. You can't trade it for a dollar. It's not automatically worth anything like something that's fungible, which is like, okay, like I can give you four quarters and you can give me a dollar or whatever. So, but that does not mean it doesn't have any worth. It is inherently worth something based on what it is. And it's a digital asset. You can store it digitally. You can store it on your phone. You can see it's on the blockchain, so it's fingerprinted. And depending on how many editions there are, you could then sell it to someone. You have ownership of that, and it is then known. The whole chain of custody is known. So for the owner side, it just means that, you know, you have the rights to own this, and you can easily sell it. And unlike sneakers, where, you know, there's a lot of friction involved, which is, oh, I've got to send it to eBay, the authenticity guarantee is there, and then I got to send it to someone else, or I got to post it somewhere, I got to post a card on eBay, but in order to do that, I got to get it graded. It's frictionless, so it's, you know, just like that. Sneakers have actually been among the most successful. I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but, you know, Fuocious, you know, had a sneaker where you get. I just think the best way to protect yourself, if this NFT thing goes or not, is to have some sort of physical something. Mm-hmm. And so the ones where you get a digital shoe and then a physical shoe is something really cool. Now, if your listeners and watchers want to get into this, what you have to realize is, one of the rules is you have to keep the NFT for like 5 weeks, just because they're like making the shoes and then sending you the shoes. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you can't unload it right away. But, and sometimes it's a pair of shoes and sometimes it's one. So be careful on that too, because that makes the difference between whether you might wear it or it's an art piece. But I think shoes have definitely been there. I'm surprised that like the Nikes of the world haven't kind of gotten into it that much. It might be coming.
I'd say for Nike probably, right, which is something that they do, probably wait and see, right? Let's see the other brands jump into it first, and if they suck at it, or if they do, okay, now we'll...
I mean, there's always concern. I would say there's always concern that something isn't the next big thing. I don't think that's the way to... I don't think waiting helps, you know, like, if it's not the next big thing, so okay, move on. I would say for, you know, I've consulted with a couple athletes, and I think the one thing I keep saying to them is, you know, if you have something physical, again, like, people will not go back on you and say, you know, oh, you're a fraud. Like, it might not be the next big thing, but, like, you don't necessarily want to offer something that's not a value, that's a cash grab, that people get angry at you later on. And so I think that's really what athletes have to worry about, or brands have to worry about. But once you have that physical thing, I think that takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you're talking about the athletes. We've seen a sort of evolution of the signature shoe over time, right? And for Nike and Jordan brand, it's like, that's like the holy grail, right? It's like the Jordans are what it is, and everybody kind of chases it. And I know just from the numbers, not every signature shoe does well, right? That's just the nature of the game. Are you seeing that is just sort of how things are going to be now because there are too many different choices? Are we never going to have, I mean, you can never say never, another athlete be, okay, this is now going to be the new dominant shoe force, and it's going to take over Jordan Brand?
I will say, though, what I'm most fascinated about is athletes who are not necessarily connecting who have a great signature shoe. Okay, so like Kyrie, mm-hmm. I mean, his logo is so great. Mm-hmm. His mm-hmm. colorways and his stories are the most relevant. Mm-hmm. I see so many kids with Kyries, and it's like, I mean, he's not necessarily like the most personable or the most, you know, like the one that you're going to gravitate to. Mm-hmm. Even though he does have a game, mm-hmm. You know, obviously his personality hasn't been the greatest, even though he's in Brooklyn. But like when the Kyrispy creams come out, like, you know, like those are awesome. You know, like you have and I think that the Kyries, that line has paid attention the most to kids.
Yeah.
More than the LeBrons, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know. The Nickelodeon shoes, whatever it is.
The SpongeBob collection, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so that's an interesting thing to me. Like, is it about the athlete? Okay, it's the athlete, but, like, how much effort are you putting into, you know, the colorways and mm-hmm. the stories? Mm-hmm. And I think that's just an interesting lesson to me. Not like Kyrie is, like, the ultimate control, because he's not, like, we're not saying he's, like, Brook Lopez or something like that. But I do think it's really interesting to see. I don't know who's running it there at Nike or why it's that way. Maybe it's Kyrie himself, and we should credit him. But, like, that's just an example of, like, paying attention to stories mm-hmm. and colorways and licensing deals. They all count.
Yep. And I think, you know, for me, I talk a lot about I know Gerard loves the Kyries, and I think it's a light, comfortable mm-hmm. shoe versus a LeBron, which bulky. Aside from LeBron, it's heavy. It's a heavy shoe. It's a hard to wear shoe unless you have that kind of build. Like, you feel like you're wearing like weighted clogs on your feet. But I think the KD is another underrated silhouette where they're doing a ton of cool stuff with prints and patterns and colorways. Yeah, and it's a comfortable shoe. It's really functional, but I've never seen sneakers outside of like more of a fashion shoe that have like a Versace inspired print or like a leopard print until the Zoom Freak ones came out. Like, I think that's kind of changed the perception of looking at sneakers almost like a canvas, not just necessarily in terms of licensing and branding, but what can we put on this that's cool? Like, I always think of Aaron with like the groovy pattern and the Murakami inspired like Flower Child mm-hmm. Kevin mm-hmm. Durant sneakers.
Yep.
Oh, you know, God. Like that's so different for a basketball shoe.
So the floral trend has thrown me off completely. Like the first time I saw it like 2 or 3 years ago, I was like, no way on a men's shoe. And then like, you know, I think that popped up, you know, with the KDs. I mean, I absolutely, there's certainly been something there. I love the humongous swoosh on the Giannis, you know, on the Zoom Freaks. I think, you know, if you think about Nike's tried to do other type of swoosh stuff. I don't like the mini. Was that on the Air Max 1?
Yeah, the Air Max 1.
I hate the mini swoosh. I am not, I'm not a fan there. But like the big, I did get, I have the Coming to America's.
Nice.
I love the 77 Blazer.
Yo, love that shoe.
I think it's interesting that materials really haven't come that much to the lower end, and I think it can. It doesn't have to be that crazy. But I know that this is not the show for this, but like I'm going to talk about myself. Like if you look at the 327, the New Balance 327, look at the material. So I have 19 colorways, and if you look, it's not only colors, it's different materials. And like I'm discovering them every time, like oh my god, is that like suede on the back, is that something else? Like I don't know who they're doing it for, because like I feel like I'm the only one hyping them up, but like, but that's amazing to use materials. I think you know, everyone's like, how much more can we do, how much more can we go, and it's like a lot.
I agree. And New Balance is having a moment, right? I think, you know, Nike and Adidas kind of are who they are, right, in terms of like the 1-2 spot. But Puma, New Balance, and I love the sort of refreshes they've done. They are really like, because they know they're not going to go for the one spot's not in, right? That's not a realistic thing.
But that's okay.
Right, and it's totally fine. You can carve out a lane. And again, there are people who are going to be like, that shoe is great. Like, I'm going to buy that. And here's a great collaboration. I think those brands, and New Balance especially, man, they're doing some really, really cool stuff. I love it. The last athlete thing I want to ask you, Darren, is about Zion. Do you think the Jordan brand and Zion Williamson, is that going to be a thing?
I don't know. You know, I felt like they signed him, first of all, to like to protect the shoe blowout. Yeah, like they had to sign him that way. By the way, I did score a ticket to the shoe blowout.
Nice.
It took me a year to get that, like almost impossible. I want to get it slabbed to say President Obama in attendance.
Nice. Because
like, when Zion shoe blew out, it's so funny. Like the GIF is like Barack Obama going, "Oh, you see that?" I don't know if they're gonna if it'll be a successful breakout. I feel like we're focused now in basketball on like Durant, like. You know, getting above the crowd, and like, you know, I feel like we're focusing on shooters and not when we always have. I mean, centers never sell shoes, and big guys never sell shoes, except if Shaq goes to Payless or something. But like, you know, I don't know that. I think that would be a challenge. I still think we're geared towards, you know, guards and jump shots instead of dunks.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I do think, though, the way that they designed that shoe, going back to like what you were saying about Kyrie, it does have almost like that childlike superhero vibe with like the Zorro-style Lightning Bolt Z on it. So I'm interested to see how that shoe evolves, and if it does evolve, because that's another one that I think could act almost like as a canvas instead of it being like an iconic silhouette on its own. I think there's a lot of room to play with colors on that one.
Yeah, I agree. I like the matching of the hair and the Z. And the, you know, there's some really, you know, bad logos out there and really bad ideas. And I think that can fly. I'm not making any guarantees.
So obviously we know you're big into the collectible world. What are some things you're on the hunt for right now that you're trying to add to your collection?
I mean, I'm always talking tickets. I have for the last year. I think the idea of a sports card not being tied to an actual moment, you don't know when that picture was taken. I think like actual tickets are something that really drives nostalgia home. I got this on eBay the other day. So this is nice. This is Bill
Clinton.
A ticket to the floor for Bill Clinton's impeachment, but you always got to go and of course he wasn't impeached, but you always got to go the extra mile,
yep.
which is the date is February, mm-hmm. which was the day that's so this was that ticket. That's the day that he did not get impeached. So it's that day. So I like tickets and I like checks too, like which is so weird. And I like I'm going to make an announcement here. I like movie props. I did win a movie prop yesterday, so this will be this will be exclusive to your show.
Love it.
Love it.
I got the Nike shirt that Forrest Gump wore while he was running.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Are you going to frame it? Is it
so? I don't know what my plans are. I do know, as you know, Gabby, that I always have some sort of editorial calendar to hit talking about when it's happening. So this show is going to air, I think, what, July 3rd?
Yep.
So I guess I'll ruin this story too. But on July 6th is the anniversary of Forrest Gump coming out in 94, July 6th, 1994. And there's a special story with the running in Forrest Gump. They wanted to do it like CG, like they wanted him to run in different places, but on a screen or a background. And Tom Hanks wasn't having it. He's like, no, I actually want to go to these places in America. Nice. And the movie house was like, no. And he's like, what? He's like, no, I really want to go to like each place. And then he goes, I'll pay for it.
Nice. And
okay. And he's like, but there's a deal we got to make. I got to get a couple more points on my equity in this movie. So it turned out that because Forrest Gump did so well, that paying the expenses to the running scenes actually made him $50 million more.
Brilliant. 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 Brilliant.
You know,
that's wild.
And Darren, that made the movie better because you could, if it was CGI'd, you would just be like, "What? This sucks."
He wouldn't care if he just felt like running.
Yeah,
yeah. He was just running, and then invested in a fruit company.
I never had to worry about money again.
I never had to worry about
being
again.
It's wild, though.
Yeah, it's wild.
What a story.
So anyway, knowing that story and knowing that I could tell that story, like. Again, I was like, you know, this was in like a big auction yesterday, like Indiana Jones's hat was in it, which I was always worried about. I'm always worried about that. That's some of the things that you don't really have in shoes. I think, you know, you don't really have these type of auctions. Like everyone's in their own world, you know, like in the like, you know, I mean, you can see consummated sales and stuff like that. But the auction, you know, like I'm always worried when I'm in big auctions that like there's people in here who... you know, are in here for another reason, and then they're going to say, oh my God, that looks cool. So, like, I think it's interesting, the shoe world and how people buy. I think it's still very, like, you know, there's a community once you buy it, but there's not necessarily a community, like, while you're bidding on things. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I feel like everything's kind of in its own silo.
No, I agree with that. I think it's the resale culture is very interesting in that sense, too, right? I think some people are in it just for the value because they know... it's trendy. Some people are genuinely in it because they want sneakers. Some people don't sell and some people do sell. But there's not, to your point, a lot of interaction up until that point. It's like, look what I got or look what I sold, not the actual auction in the bidding process.
I'm totally agree. I'm gonna show you guys one more thing, and I know it's a shoe show, but this is I own the only storyboards to Rocky II that still exists. So every single scene. And this weekend I got Sylvester Stallone to sign 5 of them.
Nice. Oh,
he did sign it. Amazing.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, so, that's really
so they're amazing. Each punch and everything, and then
look at that. It's little Sly amazing. Stallone at the bottom there. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I think storyboards too are things that are collectible. I actually tried to get the Adidas boots that he wore, not the actual ones, but like the style, the wrestling style 1981 Adidas boots that are red, white, and blue. Those are hard to get. They're like $600 to $1,000. And eventually, that might be a piece I'd like to get him signed.
That'd be
dope. I think shoes to get shoes, you know, for signings is also pretty, like, kind of age old shoes when there's things there, like, you know, you get Bobby Knight, you know, the former Indiana coach, mm-hmm. and you should try to get, like, I mean, there's often, like, a lot of this, you know, old type of shoes that you could get for very little money and then put a signature on it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure someone has it, but the chair he threw across the gym.
See, now you're going to get me into that story. So there was actually like 13 of those chairs, and after the game, someone just put it back, so they didn't know which one it was. Mm. So they don't have it. I am trying to get a ticket to that chair game, the Indiana-Purdue game of 1985. I have not gotten it yet.
See, I knew where his mind's going. That's how he's thinking about things. All right, folks, this has been great. We are going to do much more with Dan Rovell, because coming up next is America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell. And we already talked about Darren's shoe collection he's building around food. So I have a feeling some of the shoes he shows us is going to have some kind of food connection to it. So stay tuned. What's good, everybody? We are back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by AnotherLane.com, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. You know, guys, we talk about Chad and Adina all the time, and it's actually interesting that we have Darren on, because Darren's like the king of nostalgia. And look, Chad, the COO of Another Lane, he's all about that nostalgia. Again, this man travels the ends of the earth to find sneakers. Like, and you've heard some of the stories already on this show. Matter of fact, yeah, we have to get him back on to tell more of his sneaker tales of flying and taking connecting flights to get a pair of shoes.
I agree. We got to get the god back on the show.
The sneaker god, yes. Mm-hmm. Chad is, I mean, he is Sneaker Galactus for a reason, right? I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about. All right, Darren, this is your show, so show us what you got and tell us a little story behind it.
Yeah, I like the costume change as well.
I mean, yes, White Man Can't Jump. Let's first point to that. Which,
chalk line.
Come on.
Chalk line.
Way better movie than any Space Jam. Yeah, like, come on.
Yes, the Space Jam thing is weird. Over time, it's gotten better and better and better mysteriously. Yeah. I'll go through to any brand on food, like to get a food thing. So, like, you know, you got to go with the Patrick Ewing Grillo pickles.
I love that.
I mean, you know,
that's
it's
awesome.
it's got this Ewing, and then it's got the
oh yeah,
and the basketball hanging.
I love it.
So we like that.
Darren, are you a dill pickle guy?
Listen, Grillo pickles are ridiculous. They're like a next level pickle. So there's dill, but I'm not like the sour.
No.
I don't want a pucker for my pickle. I'm closer to a fresh pickle.
I gotcha.
So that's one. These are like sample shoes. I still have it, but this is the Georgia Peach ice cream sandwiches. So I think that's like a kind of a cool like bottom, like the ice cream.
Yep.
I do like both Saucony Dunkin' Donuts shoes.
Nice.
Oh, cool. They kind of look like Hoka's, bit.
They look like Hoka's a little bit.
Yeah.
And it has like the Bart Simpson donut.
I like that Dunkin' on the bottom.
I don't have like the shoe that started it all for some reason. The shoe that started it all were the Gilbert Arenas Benihana shoes.
Ooh, hibachi.
I love that.
Shoes that kind of like started it all. But I don't.
Who here has not loved had a great experience at Benihana's at least once in their life?
I mean, multiple times. Especially being from Jersey. An institution.
Exactly. The garlic butter can't ever. I do like when there's like a tremendous bag. So the best side piece, for lack of a better word, really, to a shoe is the New Balance. Balance Big League Chew bag.
Love that. That's awesome.
Amazing.
Just like I would say, maybe it rivals the Ben and Jerry's shoes with the influencers. I did not get a free pair of those. I was like, who is on this list?
Who's getting a chunky dunk?
It's not me, because
I know none of the chunky dunks yet. So anyway, it's a really cool and the shoe is just tremendous. So like, you know, and then you got the guy on the side, and you got, you know, just it's just really well done. And inside is the big league chew.
I love that. That's well done.
Too much, you know what I mean? I think some collabs take it a little too far. Like, it's still you get the simplicity of the shoe and the packaging. Oh,
I will say that you know, Puma has done a really, like, I did get the gummy bear shoes. Did you see those?
Ooh, I've not. Let me see those. You have them with you?
So, where did I put the pair?
I love gummy bears.
So this is the box. Where is the gummy bears?
Look at that, right in those drop tops.
I haven't seen them yet, but you got.
Oh,
I like the detailing on those, too.
Right, and then
the tongue is great.
And then there is, where is it? Oh, I hope it didn't fall off. There's one there, there is a hanging gummy bear somewhere. Oh, I do have the hibachis. They're right here.
I love it.
Oh yeah, look at, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, kibachi, yeah, you're in.
You know, I just like to get, like, sometimes I'm obsessed with something, so like, I actually haven't ever worn these, the Leroy Smiths, the man modifies Michael Jordan, you know, we got those, and then as I said, like, just all the different iterations of the New Balance 327s, I love the fact that
they're a good looking shoe.
Logo, and then like the run up on the back, like a 1970s running shoe.
I think we should rename this to Abby's favorite segment, not just America's favorite segment, because this is everything right now.
So then I also like video game shoes. So
I see Puma did a cool collab as well.
Right. So like this is very limited edition. It's the Madden 12.
Those are amazing.
Which are pretty cool. And then I loved, you know, as a child of the 80s, I mean, for $90 to get, like, Super Mario on the top.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, to have, like, the controller.
The tag is amazing. Yep,
perfect.
I mean, again, I'm just telling people here, like, there's some great stuff going on. You don't have to have, like, your friends approve. Like, I know that, like, it's cool to go on the sneakers app and not get your shoes 700 times. I know that's a cool thing, but like, it's actually pretty cool to like see there are shoes out there that are like $90 that you can get, like the White Castles. I heard the Puma White Castles were still available like 3 or 4 days later. Like,
that's what's so interesting, too, and we talked about this a little bit last week and the week before. Like, a true sneaker person is going to appreciate the design and the collab, and they can go into a sneaker store and find a ton of things that they love.
Come on, Crave.
I love Crave. Like, that's great.
The White House logo, the bricks on the bricks on. Get out of here. I mean, that's crazy, you know?
So, I felt that way about the Adidas Star Wars collab. I felt like that sat for a long time and kind of flew under the radar. But the Night Joggers and like the R2-D2 and C-3PO were amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
That's what I mean. I feel like they did such a great job with that collab.
I actually did have to buy those on StockX. But yes, there are amazing collabs that like just people aren't doing. Now, I did need to get, because the 7-Eleven went down and did not actually happen, I needed to go to China and get a fake pair of those.
Went to China to get a fake pair.
it was actually very nicely done. I'm not going to give promotion to the site, but
look at that. Look at that. Yo, That's actually, you know, I mean, again, to the, if you walk on the street and have that, no one's going to be like, that's fake.
No one will have any idea other than like, why are you walking in those?
Yeah. Well, that's true, because they released the couple pairs that people got their hands on for like $2,000-$3,000 on StockX.
And that,
yeah,
that was it. And then I'll just show you one more pair. So this is the pair that I got made for Kobe's funeral. So I got 8 and 24, and then we got the logo, and then one of his quotes.
Those are beautiful.
And a newspaper clipping, and then the Kobe sig on the side. So
are those on a pair of Cole Haans?
They are.
Ah, I see that Nike connection. That's a Nike connection. Yep, like
absolutely.
So that's pretty much where I'm at.
That, I mean, wow. That's amazing. See, folks, again, as Darren said, and as our guest Waz said last week, like, it doesn't have to be what everyone else likes. Like,
it shouldn't be. I'm just telling you the value of people staring at your shoes and being like, you know.
What are those?
Exactly. Those were some interesting shoes. Darren, tell the people where they can find you and your work.
At Darren Revelle on Twitter. I'm on the Action Network. At Darren Revelle on Instagram. Underrated follow, even though I'm not in a bikini showing you the latest tease. You know, it's taken me a long time to get to 50,000 followers. I wish I were a woman, with all the assets. But sometimes you just got to... just do great content. So
you gotta just work with what you got.
If you got that.
You gotta work with what you got.
I will tell you that, even though I'm at about 50,000 followers, I have roughly 1/5 of my followers follow my stories. So, it's important. I think as you get to number counting, being an influencer, I think it's important that you figure out exactly how many people are watching your things, because I think I think quality means something. Sure. And so for me, I got to Instagram late, and I wanted to, stories came out the day I joined Instagram, and I said, okay, well, maybe I can be good at that. So that's pretty much where to find me. I am going to give you a giveaway. So I will give away a signed Phil Knight business card to one of your listeners this week.
Look at that. Yes. Wow.
We're gonna post this on Instagram.
You guys got to figure out how to do it. But
hey, guys, that's a pretty good thing. Phil Knight of Nike fame. Of course, if you watch this show, you know who that is. That's a big deal. We'll have to figure out how we're going to select our winner for that. So we're going to have to tie it to some follow metric or something. We'll figure something out. But folks, that's been another incredible episode of the Kicks and Shit Show. We want to thank Darren Revelle so much for joining us. And as always, you know where to find us. We are part of the Count the Dinks family on the Bomb podcast feed. So you can find us on the original Bomb Show, Woke Bros, Crazy Sexy Cool, Growing Up the Same, Rap Names, and of course, us. And as always, we are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. And until next time, peace.